Welcome back to Wales, a Work in Progress, the Institute for Welsh Affairs podcast series discussing Wales's democratic and constitutional future. And I'm Joe Roster, the IWA's Policy and External Affairs Manager. This week, we're joined by one from our own stable, the IWA's Media and Democracy Policy Lead, Dylan Moore. Croeso, Dylan. Dylan has been leading our policy work on examining Wales's democracy and media, work which aims to bring about a strong, confident democracy for Wales, and we'll break down what this means imminently. Dylan has also been editor of the IWA's print magazine, The Welsh Agenda, for a number of years. The Welsh Agenda is Wales's leading English language current affairs magazine, and you can order your edition on the IWA's website, and the next edition should be available this autumn. But today, Dylan, we're going to pick apart the work that you've been doing and breaking down how it feeds into the ongoing debate around Wales's constitutional future, which is what this podcast series is all about. Firstly, we know that issues of media and democracy are absolutely central to the discussions around Wales's constitutional future, and we have recognised as such by both being a focus area for the Independent Commission of the Constitutional Future of Wales is work. So this is also particularly the case with broadcasting, which I know you've been looking at over the 2 years of this project, and it's also a focus area for the Commission. Can you break down what you've been doing on the area of broadcasting in Wales and what this really means for Wales's democracy?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks, obviously, for having me, first of all. It's an interesting time to be talking about broadcasting because, as you will know, and as many of our audience will know, the expert panel that was commissioned by Welsh Government and Plaid Cymru under the cooperation agreement has just this week offered back their report and their findings and their recommendations for a shadow broadcasting authority to be set up. And our work was very much framed in the context of that, knowing that that process was going on and knowing that the expert panel were going to be looking at the possibilities around that. We commissioned some work that was led by Marlene Komorowski from Media Cymru, supported by Enrique Uribe Youngblood, to look at case studies from across Europe, looking at different countries where broadcasting regulation and broadcasting policy is done in different ways, to see what lessons we can learn here in Wales. Because one of the things that has been acknowledged by that expert panel in their report is very much that there is significant complexity in this area, significant complexity within the broadcasting landscape caused by global changes to the way that people consume their media, but also obviously the extra layer of complexity that we have here in Wales caused by devolution. So what we wanted to really do with our work is to just map out exactly what the situation is at the moment, map out that current landscape. And we did that in part one, where we came up with what we called the IWA regulatory map. And what we did on that diagram was just draw a dividing line really between what is about policy making and funding and essentially DCMS, all the powers, all the levers really sit with the Secretary of State at UK level. And then also another column on that diagram is all about the regulation side of things. And obviously Ofcom have got responsibility right across the UK for that. And what we really wanted to understand was, what are the handles that Wales has on this? And this was preceded by work that was done by the Culture Committee, the Senedd Culture Committee, both in the fifth Senedd and in the current Senedd, trying to look at what exactly we could do to devolve not all of broadcasting, but perhaps some of it. And this is very much what the expert panel have reported on this week. They've been looking at different pathways. I think there's five that they set out, five different pathways, five different options where Wales could gain more power over broadcasting. And it's important to say this, and this will come up in the rest of our discussion, for the benefit of citizens and audiences in Wales. That's really the point of this. So we looked at case studies from Spain, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, all of which have very different systems. But I think what we drew from those is very much that basically broadcasting is so important and the media is so important to the way that a nation thinks about itself, and that often the way that states and sub-state entities organize their broadcasting regulatory landscape is often tied up with like entire reforms of the state. So Germany dates back to the 1940s and post-World War II in terms of when it organized its broadcasting regulation. Belgium to the 1970s when it was looking at ways of organizing the linguistic communities there. Spain post-Franco dictatorship. So it's really key, I think, that we get this broadcasting issue sorted in amongst the wider constitutional questions that you've been talking about so far on this podcast, because the two things are definitely inextricably linked.
Yeah, and I think you've laid out quite well regarding, you know, why the media should be seen as a constitutional and a democratic issue. And the headline from the expert panel's report really is this shadow broadcasting authority. What is that meant to do? Why do you think that would put Wales in a better position? Do you have any specific opinions on that?
Yeah, well, I think you can definitely see a through line from the work that we've been doing to the work of the expert panel. And I think a lot of it is about accountability. So they've actually come up with a kind of very simple Venn diagram. So I mentioned our regulatory map, which actually looks pretty complicated when you see it on the page, even though we did try to reduce it down to one side of A4. They've come up with this Venn diagram where they just look at accountability and its overlap with regulation and with policy. And really that's what it's all about. So, I mean, coming back to what we've called the body that we would be recommending, because one of the things that we'll probably go on to talk about a little bit further is the overlap between broadcasting and communications work and work specifically on journalism. And I'm really glad to see that the expert panel have very much baked into what they're saying, that they think journalism should be very much part of this new shadow broadcasting authority. Now, in our report, we call it an Institute for Media in Wales. And I'll just go through the six bullet points of what we think that institute, that body should do. So it's about representing citizens and monitoring the media in order to make sure essentially that citizens, audiences, people in Wales are being well served by the media that they have. To scrutinise governments, regulators and broadcasters. So again, it's about that accountability level and bringing that to Wales rather than simply allowing DCMS and Ofcom to do everything. To evaluate impact, content and quality of media provision in Wales. So that's obviously linked to those previous two points. Also to enhance the visibility of existing accountability structures. So I'm also really pleased with the way that the expert panel framed this, is that there is no one person or body in Wales at present, as things stand in the status quo, that actually looks at this. So there would be no place for audiences or citizens in Wales to go to get a grasp on any of this stuff. And then also we've said, you know, that they would convene regular focus groups and commission research. So it's really about having this ongoing monitoring of the media, of broadcasters, of government in relation to this, basically with the overarching or underpinning principle that we are wanting to strengthen Wales's media so that citizens, people in Wales, can understand what is going on in their country and in their communities much better than they currently do at present, because that's ultimately where a lot of our work on media and democracy has come from, is this, you know, long identified democratic deficit that we have and this information gap that we have here in Wales.
Yeah, so I think you've spoken through how a lot of this policy work has been to look at where, you know, other areas where with subnational governments and taking it from there and seeing what best practice is, seeing what's worked elsewhere and kind of seeing how that fits into Wales. I'm glad you've kind of mentioned citizens as well, because it's important to note that a lot of this work, this phase of this work from the IWA's long kind of media work that's gone back many years beyond this. But it came out of the Citizens Voices report, which brought together a citizens panel to discuss their media consumption and understanding of Welsh news. Can you talk to us about that and how that citizens panel process has really fed into the more policy intensive work that you've been doing?
Yeah, no. Great question, Joe. It's so this was a partnership between ourselves and the Open University in Wales, and we worked with Mutual Gain and the Sortition Foundation to deliver a citizens panel, which brought together 15 people from across Wales. We had 8 different demographic kind of targets that we wanted to reach to make that group really representative of Wales's population. And we did pretty well against all of those. And the group met for 19 hours last summer online for a process that took them through a learning phase where they heard from experts on media in Wales and beyond, a deliberation phase where they thought about all of the issues, and then a recommendations phase where they came up with the recommendations that we then published in our report, which is called Citizens' Voices, People's News, Making the Media Work for Wales.
Yeah.
And essentially, I mean, just to take you through the sort of headlines in terms of the recommendations that they came up with, because I think it's really important that we can trace back, like you said, all of that policy intensive work that we've been doing to what people in Wales said. And there were really high thresholds set for the recommendations and really high levels of buy-in for each of the things that they were talking about. So one was around media regulation. So that's very much endorsing the work that the expert panel on broadcasting have been doing in terms of setting up this shadow broadcasting authority. And I very much hope that Welsh Government will now quickly take up and start implementing those recommendations. Because as I say, it does have a high level of support from the public based on what we've found. There was also a big strand around democratic education. So what people of all ages, from 18 right up to 60s, 70s, 80s, everybody said that they were not well served by the education that they had around citizenship and politics in schools. But also that there was nowhere for them to go after they'd left formal education to essentially educate themselves. And they weren't getting that from the media either. And then the third big strand was around recognising Welshness. And again, this is something that's come through in our work and in the work of the expert panel and also the public interest journalism working group, which I've been part of and that we might get onto as well. That essentially there is not enough recognition of the specificities of the Welsh linguistic, social and cultural context in the media that we have or in the education that we have around democracy, and that really came through strongly from people across Wales, both Welsh speaking and non-Welsh speaking.
Yeah, and I think as you say, you can really see the through lines into what areas you've focused on beyond the Citizens' Voices report. It seems a good way to start a process is talk to citizens in a really engaging way that gives a lot of information as well and takes them on a learning journey, as you explained, but then not leaving those recommendations to sit there, but actually using that as a basis to try and sort some of the problems and the opportunities that are identified by the citizens. So, and you've spoken, if I could pivot slightly to the work of the Public Interest Journalism Working Group, which you've been a part of. They've recently reported from their work, which has come from the cooperation agreement. What is it that this body is trying to do, and what have they recommended?
Well, essentially, at the very top level, what this body is trying to do is to improve the quality and also, I suppose, the quantity of journalism in and about and of Wales. And the report's actually called Towards a Sustainable Future for Public Interest Journalism. So it's very much, we've very much as a group been focused on the sustainability of the industry. You'll be well aware, and people who have been engaged with the IWA's work on media over the last decade or so will be well aware of the kind of structural and economic challenges faced by the news industry, the kind of broken business models that, the reliance on advertising in print medium obviously has collapsed. And, that hasn't translated into the digital world in a way that can really support and sustain the industry going forward. And there's been a lot of work across the UK from people like the Public Interest News Foundation and the Media Reform Coalition and others that's really kind of highlighted some of these problems. There was a process very much parallel to ours that happened in Scotland a couple of years ago. There was the Cairn Cross Review back in 2019, and all these pieces of work are kind of pointing in a direction that actually, if we care about public interest journalism, if we care about ordinary people, citizens, having access to good quality information so that they can make informed decisions about local communities, about how they're going to vote in elections, about other kind of issues which are sort of fundamental democratic rights, then we need to do something about it. And that at least part of that mix needs to be a recognition that public interest journalism is actually a public service. And that's really where we've been trying to gear the work of that group. The group is, you know, is a wide range of people within it. Some of them are from sort of small hyper-local community websites. Some of them represent the bigger kind of companies that are, have multiple titles that are active in Wales. There's academia represented, trade unions, et cetera, et cetera. But I think where all of us are really agreed is that there is a role for the state to play in funding good quality public interest journalism. And I think, you know, what's been really heartening to see is that, you know, Welsh Government seem to be accepting that Rubicon has already been crossed, and very much in the Welsh language, you know, there are funding mechanisms through the Books Council of Wales, for example, for public interest news in the Welsh language. And we really need to be pushing that in English as well.
I think you've seen that as well in regards to, you know, the headlines that came out of that report was really the Welsh Government looking for to appoint a Senedd reporter, because there's fundamentally not enough scrutiny from the media on the work of the Senedd. It's certainly not been driven by commercial needs. So I think that speaks to, the wider suite of seeing journalism as.
Yeah. I think it's important to kind of just pick you up slightly on the wording there. So it wouldn't be Welsh Government appointing a Senedd reporter. The reporter certainly would not be working for Welsh Government. And I think that's kind of one of the criticisms that's been levelled at that, is this kind of client journalism. And very much built into what we've been recommending as a public interest journalism working group is the arm's length principle, that this is public money that would then be administered by a completely independent body. And I know the minister has also been emphasising that these are pilot schemes to see, you know, whether they work and how they work. There's the Senedd reporter. There's also a project that's going to be looking at mapping the sector so that we understand it before further interventions can be made. And there's also, really importantly, something called the Inclusive Journalism or Inclusive Media Lab, which is going to be a sort of training program for new entrants to the sector and people who are maybe from marginalized backgrounds who have basically been harmed by the media as it exists today. So there's some really kind of really good positive green shoots that have come out of this work already, but very much what we've been angling for as the IWA all the way through this is that these changes need to be wide ranging, and they need to be systemic, and they need to be evidence based. Hopefully that report towards the sustainable future for journalism really kind of will sort of be a sort of benchmark to begin that process. And as I say, I'm really glad that it overlaps and dovetails so neatly with the work of the expert panel on broadcasting, because I think those two areas, I think we've become more and more aware as the process has gone on that the media needs looking at in the round, and you can't hive off journalism from all of the other stuff around communications.
And speaking of overlaps, just hearing you talk, you know, it's really clear as you're, you know, the policy work that you do is media and democracy. It's really clear that they overlap to quite a large extent. And, you know, all of these conversations are really inextricably linked with the health of our democracy. And in that vein, you've recently released a report called Building Bridges, Wales's Democracy Now and for Our Future. Could you talk us through how this report came about? I know it was a subject to, you know, a round table with lots of experts in the field of democracy in Wales. So could you speak to us about that report and what it recommended?
Yeah, so I mean, this is part of the conversations that we've been having really over 18 months now with a wide range of stakeholders, and exactly that, Joe, as you've said, recognizing the really strong kind of link between the need to strengthen our media and the need to strengthen our democracy. And again, you know, going back to the work of the citizens panel and the kind of recommendations that they were making around democratic education, that again came through very, very strongly in the round table. So this was a round table of just over 20 people from government, from civil service, from academia, from the third sector, from secondary and tertiary education, and from statutory and non-statutory bodies working in the democracy space. So I wanted to cover all of those. But I think it just shows, you know, for a start, it shows the IWA's power to convene. But it just also shows that what we think is we need a strategic vision that brings all of those different partners together. Because what I would say about the democracy space in Wales, and this has come up across the sector, is that there's so much good work going on, but there's not that read across or join up that we need in order to have a really strategic vision. So the roundtable itself was very much a chance to bring together a range of partners who were working in different ways on different areas. And I think really, I mean, what came out of it was the need for further kind of mapping, further engagement with an even wider range of stakeholders, you know, including the media, actually being a very, very important part of that. And what we kind of identified was three main areas. So one is around elections and voting. And, you know, there was lots of conversation in that roundtable and lots of analysis then, therefore, in the report about the electoral cycle and the fact that, you know, that has kind of pros and cons in terms of like voting being the, you know, the high point of people's involvement in democracy, but then with turnout so low, it being a problem, and it also being a problem that, you know, people tend to think because of the way that politicians and the media talk about elections, that democracy doesn't go on for the rest of the cycle. And we really need to get that kind of embedded in society that, you know, democracy is something that we participate in every day. There's also work to be done around democratic education. So again, picking up on what we've already said about that in terms of people's basic understanding of democratic processes and how they work, political parties, ideologies, all the basics, really. You know, we'd highlight, you know, certainly the work that Yvonne Murphy has been doing with Oh My Days and the talking shops that have been piloted in Cardiff and Newport and Merthyr and elsewhere. And then thirdly, the third sort of strand that we think really needs looking at in its own right is around exactly what we've done with the citizens panel, really, around deliberative democracy and participatory processes. And there's real appetite and real expertise in Wales. And I know you've talked previously on the podcast to Anwen Elias and to Jem Woolowitz at Aberystwyth University, them and others, you know, there's real opportunity in Wales to do democracy differently, but we need to have further conversations and we need to pull together partners and unusual partnerships as well. That was a phrase that came out of that round table, pulling together people in different ways to think about how we do democracy differently. And hopefully, as the IWA, using our convening power in order to continue to curate and to pull together those conversations, both inside and outside of government and the Senedd.
Yeah, well, thank you for spending the time with us, Dylan. I'm glad you mentioned Yvonne Murphy of Emma Days, because she is going to be an upcoming guest on this podcast as a result of you know, the engagement that we've had with her. But yeah, I'd just like to thank you for your time, Dylan. And people can find out more about all of the reports that were mentioned over the past 25 minutes or so on the IWA website. I'd also like to share as well that the IWA have a couple of online events that have just been announced that will accompany this podcast. So under the Wales A Work In Progress banner. So on the 21st of September, we have an event that will be looking at the devolution settlements across the UK, looking at how Wales's devolution settlement compares with the rest of the UK and where it could go in the future and what lessons there are there. And on the 26th of October, we'll be hosting an event called Social Security Spotlight to really look at how social security and welfare is performing in Wales and looking at lessons from Scotland, which has more powers over their welfare system than the Wales, and are doing quite interesting and different things to the rest of the UK when it comes to this. So they're both online free events, you can sign up and keep up to date with all of the IWA's work, not only the work on constitution, media and democracy, but also our wider economy work on the IWA website, and also on our Twitter feed, which is at @IWA_Wales. But thank you very much for your time, Dylan, and we will join you all again soon.